जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ. జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. నితాయ గౌర హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్. జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద 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 జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద. జయ విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరిత శ్రీ శ్రీమతి శివాయన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవృందకి, గ్రంథాశ్రీమద్భాగవానికి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానందే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. హరే కృష్ణ. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text Number 4. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apashyat Purusham Purnam Mayam Chatada Pashrayam. భక్తి యోగేన మనసి సమ్యక్ ప్రణిహితే మలే అపశ్యత్ పురుషం పూర్ణం మాయాం చ తదపాశ్రయం. భక్తి యోగేన మనసి సమ్యక్ ప్రణిహితే మలే అపశ్యత్ పురుషం పూర్ణం మాయాం చ తదపాశ్రయం. సమ్యక్ ప్రణిహితే అపశ్యత్తురు సంపూర్ణం మాయాం చ తదపాశయం భక్తి యోగేన సమ్యక్ ప్రణహితేన అపశ్యత్తురు సంపూర్ణం భక్తియోగేన మనసి సమ్యక్ ప్రణిహితే మలే అపశ్యత్ పురుషం పూర్ణం మాతజీస్. భక్తి డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ యోగేన బై ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ లింకింగ్ అప్ మనసి అపాన్ ద మైండ్ సమ్యక్ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ప్రణిహితే ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ అండ్ ఫిక్స్డ్ అపాన్ అమలే వితౌట్ ఎనీ మ్యాటర్ అపశ్యత్ సా పురుషం ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ పూర్ణం అబ్సల్యూట్ మాయాం ఎనర్జీ చ ఆల్సో తత్ హిస్ అపాశ్రయం అండర్ ఫుల్ కంట్రోల్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ ప్రపోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. దస్ హీ ఫిక్స్డ్ హిస్ మైండ్ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఎంగేజింగ్ ఇట్ బై లింకింగ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ భక్తి యోగ without any tinge of materialism, and thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy which was under full control. Purport: perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth personality of Godhead only by the process of devotional service, and one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadev to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyasadev did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. In the Upanishads also, it is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden glowing Hiranmayena Patrena veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha or person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies, out of which the internal, external and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of our activities. The internal energy is there along with the absolute person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness, because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apashrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called Maya, but it is spiritual Maya or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal energy, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are Atmaram or fixed in trance take shelter of this Maya or internal energy. Devotional service or bhakti yoga is the function of the internal energy. Thus, there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy. Just as there is no place for darkness in the effulgence of spiritual light, such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Paramapurusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later shlokas. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we welcome all of you for this daily Bhagavatam class. We are reading from the first canto. Narad Muni is instructing Vyasadev. We are continuing the discussion. And Vyasadev is following the instruction of Narad Muni. He is meditating. So earlier Narad Muni had advised him, Samadhina anusmara tad vicheshtitam. You meditate and go into samadhi. So in that state of samadhi, Vyasadev saw what we saw today, what we are discussing today. Apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatadapashrayam. So maya, oftentimes we consider her to be a competitor of Krishna. Or in the Western religious ideas, they have God and evil, God and Satan. And both are seen as competitors sometimes. And God sometimes wins, sometimes God loses, and the devil wins. Sometimes the devil loses, God wins. So even in our literature, we have devatas and asuras fighting with each other, trying to gain supremacy. Sometimes the devas win, sometimes the asuras win. So, but God, as we understand in our scriptures, is above these two factions of devas and asuras. Devas and asuras are administrators within the universe. They hold certain positions, have certain powers. And each group is trying to claim supremacy over the other party. And they have fights with each other. They have disagreements. They have their own regions of ruling. And they fight. But then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above all these designations. And all these devas and asuras are working under Krishna or Vishnu. So whoever is obedient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that party ultimately wins the battle. So that way, the devil or Satan is not a competitor. The devil is kind of an assistant, cooperator with Krishna. Mayadevi is trying to, Prabhupada writes, Mayadevi has a thankless task of reforming and rectifying the conditioned souls who are rebellious against Krishna. So whenever a living entity is expressing the rebellion, Mayadevi punishes the living entity until the living entity reforms and comes to his senses and agrees to become subordinate to Krishna. So that way Mayadevi is a cooperator, making sure that envious living entities don't get the permission to enter into the spiritual world. So here he says, Pranihite, Chakravarti Thakur writes, Pranihite means without any movement. Because Vyasadeva's mind was perfectly situated in trance, without getting distracted by any other material thought, he was able to get the vision of Krishna along with the illusory energy. So apashrayam is translated as under full control, standing behind, subordinate to Krishna. So we see Krishna along with the material energy, Krishna and his energies. We worship both, not Krishna alone, not the energy alone, but the together, combined form of God and his energy. So we worship Radha Krishna, we worship Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram. Worshipping only one is an unbalanced state, and that is not appreciated, that is not recommended. So Vyasadeva's mental state is understood here. Not getting distracted perfectly in meditation, samadhi, samadhina anusmara. Krishna also advises, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. We have to be in constant remembrance of Krishna and continue performing our duties. In that state, we are perfectly situated. So, Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains this stage of steadiness, which Rupa Goswami calls Nishtha. He says, the appearance of pure devotion is compared to the birth of a baby girl. Just as parents of a delicate newborn must protect the child from sun and cold and wild animals, so devotees must be careful to protect their newborn devotion from the undesirable influences of speculative knowledge, fruitive endeavors, and all other allurements of mystic perfections, or any other allurements that we find in this world. If the parents fail to shelter the child, she will not grow to healthy adulthood. Similarly, if affectionate devotees and careful spiritual practices do not shelter pure devotion, then this little baby of pure devotion will degrade into unwanted ideas and habits. Nurse to the stage of steadiness, Nishtha, then pure devotion is relatively safe from getting degraded or from becoming contaminated. So therefore we have to be in the protective fence of devotee association, steadily, sincerely practicing our spiritual practices, then this infant baby girl will grow into adulthood, healthy adulthood. And he makes another correlation between qualifications of pure devotion and the stages of devotional practice. He says, when pure faith appears, one becomes a Kanishtha Adhikari. Little faith, that is the stage of Kanishtha. When one executes the limbs of devotional service in practice, such as hearing, chanting, and remembering, and in the association of Vaishnavas, one becomes free from unwanted habits, then that faith becomes dense and transforms into Nishtha. Then that stage is called Madhyama, Madhyama Adhikari. By further perseverance of the activities of devotion, one's Nishtha intensifies and assumes the form of Ruchi, Asakti. Then the sadhaka in whom Ruchi has developed, such a person is called Uttamadhikari, one who has the greatest eligibility to perform pure devotion. So in this way, we have to be carefully nurturing the seed of Bhakti Lata and gradually see to it that it grows into higher stages of devotion. So, the demons and devotees have, the devotees especially, when we compare them to demons, they have two opposite ideologies. And we see this clearly in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata. Clearly we have evil and the devotees and demons, the demigods and the demons. Clearly two sides, black and white, visible. In the Mahabharata war, when Dronacharya was appointed as the commander-in-chief after the fall of Bhishma, 10th day when Bhishma fell, then Duryodhan is wondering who should become the commander-in-chief. He wanted to put Karna as the commander-in-chief because he thought, Karna is loyal to me, he will fight with full energy. Bhishma and Drona are like, you know, having soft corner towards the Pandavas. They may not, although they are skilled and capable, but they may not give their full energy for my cause. So he was eager to have Karna as the commander-in-chief. But when he went to Karna, Karna said, look, I am glad that you have approached me, I am honored, but it is better to request Drona. Because he is senior in age, senior in experience, and he is the guru for most of the warriors present in the battlefield. So even if you ask me, if I become the commander, then others may not cooperate with me. And they may not agree with this decision. So better approach Dronacharya. And he has been fighting furiously, and he will lead. So finally, reluctantly, Duryodhan approached Dronacharya and requested him. And Dronacharya definitely was honored to take that post. And he became the commander-in-chief, and he started fighting, and he requested Duryodhan, so what do you want? What can I do for you? Do you have any special request? And Duryodhan was waiting for the opportunity. He said, yes, I want you to capture Yudhishthir and bring him to me. So Duryodhan says, capture Yudhishthir? You don't want to kill him? He said, no, capture him. Because if you kill him, then Arjuna and the Pandavas will be really furious and they will fight completely and destroy the entire army. So if you capture him, then I will ask him to again play a gambling match. And again, I will defeat him and ask him to go into exile for 13 years. That's the best way to continue my life here. So Dronacharya realized this guy is not going to change. There is no point in advising him, and he continues to remain as an adamant fool. So he said, he took the post, and then he said, okay, I will fight. So he fought furiously the next day, destroying the Panchal force and all the warriors on the Pandava side, and I was about slowly going towards Yudhishthira to capture him. And he was about to capture, that's when Arjun appeared, understanding the seriousness of the situation, and then he intervened and foiled Dronacharya's plans. And the day ended, and everyone came back to their camps, and Duryodhan was angry. Dronacharya didn't fulfill his promise, and he's about to come to him and lash out his feelings. Dronacharya said, look, I had already told you, as long as Arjun is there, I cannot capture Yudhishthir. So he had told Arjun, told Duryodhan that, I can capture Yudhishthir only if Arjun is not around.
And if Arjun comes, then I can't do, because he's young. Although he's my student, but he's younger and stronger. And I am an old man. That way I am not to my fight. I cannot fight to my full capacity. But Arjun came and foiled the plans. So Duryodhan said, look, what can I do? You should ensure that he is not around. And then he said, only endeavors are in our capacity, in our hands. Destiny determines the results of our endeavors. And the Lord of Destiny is sitting on Arjun's chariot. So what can I do? The Lord of Destiny is there. So until we get to this understanding that I have to do my part, like we describe in Damodar pastime, Kartik is soon coming, and the two-finger formula. We have certain things we can do in our control. Certain things we can manipulate and do. But there are so many other factors which are beyond our control. We may call it destiny, we may call it luck and fortune, and so many terms we may use to describe that unknown factor. Krishna says, Daivam Chaivatra Panchamam. Five factors, out of which the most important is Daiva. Daiva factor is beyond our control. So, and that controller of that Daiva is sitting on Arjun's chariot. Krishna is its controller of destiny. So until we acknowledge this principle, that I have to do my thing to a certain extent, I can ensure the results only to a certain degree. Beyond that, if it doesn't come, it is, I don't have to lament, I don't have to go depressed, but it is just not destined to me. And I have to accept, come to terms of acceptance that this is what it is supposed to be. So that's the stark difference between demons and devotees. Devotees accept that principle of Krishna factor, whereas demons fail to accept that principle. And then they go on endeavoring, eventually getting baffled. Moghasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana vichetasa, Krishna says. Every endeavor of these demons are baffled at every step, because they fail to accept that principle of Daiva. In the Ramayana, there is this incident of yesterday Subhilas was discussing how Vibhishan came and approached Lord Ram, Sugriva, saying, I want to surrender my life to Ram. And there was discussion whether Sugriva should be accepted or not. He is coming from the enemy camp, and now he is saying he wants to surrender. Who knows what his intentions are? He may be a spy. So Ram narrated a story to prove why we should accept Vibhishan. He described the story of a lion in the forest, a tiger in the forest. So tiger wanted to eat human flesh, and he saw a human being inside the forest. And he started chasing. And this human being, the man, climbed a tree and sat there. Took shelter of the tree. So tiger was waiting. When will this guy come down? So he waited there, waiting for the man to come down. And on the top of the tree, he saw a monkey. So he told the monkey, look, why don't you push that man down? Now, we are animals. This man, we know humans are always against the animals. They disturb the animals in so many ways, and they are our common enemy. You should push him down. That way, I will get my meal, and I will become friends. I will protect you all the time. So the monkey said, look, this is against dharma. Dharma means anyone who is in danger, one should protect that person. So I cannot do this. This is against my principles. So he refused to obey the tiger's order. The tiger thought, okay, I'll talk to the man. So he told the man, look, why don't you push the monkey down? and I will protect you. So the man thought, okay, that's a good idea. So he pushed the monkey down. And the monkey fell down. The tiger was not interested in the monkey flesh. He wanted the human blood. So he released the monkey. And the monkey again went up. And he told the monkey again, look, you were so friendly to the human being, the man. He cheated you. So now you push him. Again the monkey said, no, this is against the principles of dharma. He may have violated his principle of dharma, but I cannot. Anyone who is in danger, I cannot do this. So Ram tells this story to explain that Vibhishan, although he may have coming from the demon family, whatever the intention, but now he is taking shelter. So we cannot kill him or not accept him. So that's the principle of dharma. Ramayana, Lord Ram is establishing, Maryada Purushottam is establishing the principles of dharma. And how in any circumstance, whatever the situation may be, we should not give up these principles for the sake of material profit. Prabhupada used to often quote this. First kind of verse. Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jive tayavata. No. Dharmasya hi apavargasya narthor thayo pakalpate narthasya dharma ikantasya kamo labhaya hismrita. One should not give up dharma for the sake of kam, material sense gratification. And in this way, Lord Ram establishes the principles of dharma. So, devotees and demons, coming back to the point, Hariparshad Prabhu one time wrote a nice article describing the consciousness. Stark difference between a devotee and a demon. It's a nice verse. It says, Sakshara viparitaschet rakshasa eva kevalam. Saraso viparitaschet sarasatvam namunchati. So this is a play of words. Sakshara viparitaschet. If you invert, reverse the word sakshara, what happens? Rakshasa. Sakshara viparitaschet rakshasa eva kevalam. So one who is, the internal meaning is, one who is literate or has acquired mundane knowledge. Sa akshara, along with akshara. Akshara means mundane education. One who is literate and decorated with all material education, but no transformation in character. But if you, when reversed, when they face adversities in life, then their nature changes. They may be educated with all kinds of degrees, but in times of adversity, they will behave like rakshasa. Rakshasa eva kevalam. But saraso viparitaschet. Sarasa. If you reverse, it is sarasa. Saraso viparitaschet sarasattvam namunchati. So sarasa means one who is actually relishing. From a devotional point of view, one who is relishing bhakti rasa. Even in terms of, in times of adversity, they will remain sarasa. So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Calamities will test our character. Calamities will test our behavior. Are we sakshara or sarasa? If we behave in a totally different way, and we speak in a certain way, then it's simply mundane. We are like jnanis who have accumulated loads of knowledge of how to do, what to do, but unable to implement them in our lifestyle. But if you have internalized these teachings, and then even in times of calamity, we can maintain our character. That's what we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam and all these literatures in our Vedic scriptures. How devotees, in spite of all calamities, they don't give up their devotional mood. hear the story of Ambarish, Prahlad, the Pandavas. They went through so many calamities. They had the opportunity to, you know, tweak the principles, but they stuck to their principles and never gave up the principles of dharma. So this is when, this is what happens when we have internalized the principles of bhakti. And I collected a lot of all these nice verses that Hari Parshad Prabhu has compiled. He wrote a series of articles for BTG. Around 50-55 articles he wrote for the last 3-4 years. So I collected a few ones which I liked very much. So in one shloka he says, he is describing Krishna's sidelong glances. Krishna syanyatra druk prantaha sadbhish shastra phalam smritam hantatasu punasoyam ebhish shastra phalam matam. So it says, when Krishna's sidelong glances fall on any other devotee in the world, the learned sages describe it as the attainment of pinpointed conclusion of Shastra. However, when the same sidelong glances fall on the gopis, then the sages describe it as the attainment of pinpointed end of Shastra. So yogi is dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa. Yogis meditate on Krishna, try to focus all their attention on Krishna. And if they are able to capture Krishna in their minds, that is considered to be the perfection of their Vedic practices. The end of shastra phalam smritam. That is the fruit of their Vedic study and austerities. But the same sidelong glance of Krishna, when it falls on gopis, this poet says, it acts like a weapon, shastra phalam, and it gives them pain. Of course, we understand this pain is not like the ordinary mundane pain. Kaviraj Goswami describes this as hot sugar cane juice. E prema aswadana tapta ikshu charvana mukha jwale naaya tyajan. Sei prema yar mane tar vikrama sei jane vishamrite ekatra milan. It's a combination of vish and amrita. So hot sugar cane juice, if we put it in our mouth, we can't take it in. It's too hot. At the same time, we can't spit it out. It is too sweet. Hot nectar. We can't take it in, we can't spit it out. That's how that's the level of devotion, the taste of devotion the gopis and Vrajavasis are experiencing. They can't live in separation, they can't live in union. But for the yogis, the same glance is described as the end of all their practices. So, a comparison of how Krishna's glance act in different ways with different types of devotees. And then he says, another verse he writes, ekam vastu dvidha kartum bahavasanti dhanvinaha jayatyekasmaro dhanvi dvayo raikyam karotiyaha. It's again talking about Krishna's mercy. So Cupid, Kamadev, so generally when we shoot an arrow's weapons, when they hit a target, that target splits into multiple pieces and destroys the object. But Cupid shoots an arrow in such a way that two things combine, unite each other. That's the mystical nature of this arrow. Instead of breaking two hearts, it unites two hearts. And but Krishna's arrow. So Cupid's arrow, we know how it, all the romantic relations that we have in this world, initially it appears very tasty and nectarian, but eventually it ends in disappointment. But this author, this poet says, Krishna's arrow also unites two people. On one side it cuts off the material attachments, material relationships, but at the same time it connects, unites the jiva with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he is the original Madan, Madan Mohan. So Jayatyeka Smaro Dhanvi Dvayor Aikyam Karotiya. It makes two living entities unite. In a devotional perspective, it unites the living entity with Krishna. So that's how meditation on Krishna is, it's personal. It's a personal relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. It revives our dormant loving relationship with Krishna. It purifies us of all the anarthas that are acting as impediments. Impediments in our loving relationship with Krishna. In fact, the Bhagavatam says, Vikriditam Vrajavadhubhiridam cha Vishnu. One who meditates on the pastimes of gopis and Krishna, the perversions, the perverted feelings that we have within the heart, that disease is cured. Bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hridrogam asha pahino tyachirena dhira. That hridrogam, the disease of the heart, the perverted disease of the heart is cured when we meditate on Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So in this way the poet describes the nature of loving relationship with Krishna. Last week one devotee Mataji called me saying her mother is seriously sick, 84 years old. She has to be admitted in the hospital. So please pray to Krishna. So I am trying to make her listen to Hare Krishna mantra continuously and keeping photographs of Radha Gopinath, everything I am doing. But all of you, please pray. So she was admitted to hospital and all those complications happened, last stages, kidney failure and other things. So doctor said only few hours left. So yesterday night I got a call. I went to sleep at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock someone woke me up. One devotee woke me up and said, look at this, take this call. So she said, my mother is about to pass. Can you do something? I didn't know. I was in slumber and I said, what should I do? She said, at least chant Hare Krishna. Then she made a video call and I chanted Hare Krishna, prayed and saw this old woman lying on the bed with all kinds of tubes going in different directions. So then another devotee called me, Jai Giriraj Prabhu. He said, I think we should go. We should go and meet. I said, but I have a class tomorrow. Maybe I'll come after the class. We'll go after the class. I said, no, Prabhuji, we don't know whether the lady will survive. We should go now. It's 11 o'clock. So I said, okay. Immediately I got ready, picked up a Maha garland, picked up Prabhupada's chanting machine. That's all I could gather in the middle of the night. No car available, and then I took a cab, picked him up from Dadar, and went there. We reached at 12:30. And she was lying there, and I chanted few Hare Krishna mantras. I chanted the 12th chapter, 15th chapter, all those Bhagavad Gita chapters. Met the family members and came back. 2 o'clock. And today morning, 5:15, she passed away. So all the photographs, all the Harinam, mantra, Prabhupada's chanting. So this lady, when she was asked by daughter, so where do you want to go? What are your last wishes? So I have nothing, no wishes. I don't want anything of this world. I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Clear statements. I want to go to Krishna in Goloka, nowhere else. I just want to give up all connections with this world. No desires left. Not exactly a devotee, like we understand. She has read Journey Home. And last 2-3 years, because the daughter became a devotee, she is reading Bhagavatam in that way. So this is how Lord Chaitanya's mercy, our parampara's mercy, descends to totally unknown people who may be least way connected with our movement, with the devotee association. But somehow Krishna arranges to Krishna reciprocates with such people. And showers his mercy. So my faith got increased. If last moment, last few months and few years of devotional practice can award you this benefit, so then we have hope. We have been practicing for last couple of years and hopefully we'll continue practice till the end of our life. So then there is hope that some devotee will intervene in our life at the right time and remind us of Krishna, get all the Maha garlands and Maha jal and all the sacred waters and make us help us remember Krishna at the time of our death. In what condition we will die, what situation, who will be around us, we don't know. Then I came out of the hospital waiting for a cab. Another boy in desperation came. He first went inside the hospital and then he came out immediately and said, "I want to talk to you." "Hare Krishna," he said. "I want to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." So he said, and then he started narrating his problem, how his family, his business collapsed and his family members have rejected him, his wife left him, and I feel so dejected, so depressed. I thought I should not commit suicide, but I won't. I will definitely not commit. And I am connected with Juhu, Radha Rasvi Hari Temple. I go there regularly. I am reading the Gita, I am reading the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I am chanting Hare Krishna. But I don't know what to do. Everything is, there is no end. I don't see an end to my situation. Everyone is accusing me of all the problems. I am the one, they say, for all the problems in the family. I don't know where to go. I know Krishna is there. Krishna will support me. He won't leave me. I'll come back. If I get some time, I'll come back and come back like Arjun. So all this turn of events, I was wondering what to make out of it. In the middle of the night, this is happening at 1:30 outside the hospital. And the other devotee also there with me said, "Something mystical, we should take it as Krishna's sign, something to learn." So I said, "Yeah, be in touch, we will keep coming, we'll meet, keep meeting." I've offered a few words of consolation and hope. So how Krishna reciprocates, in what manner, and in what situation, in what form, we will never get to know. But we need to have faith that Krishna will reciprocate and intervene in our life and shower His mercy. So here Vyasadeva is perfectly situated in his meditation. After following Narad Muni's instruction, he is getting this vision. And that vision satisfies him completely. In the next couple of verses we'll find, Shoka moha bhayapaha yasyam vai shruyamanayam krishne paramapurushe bhaktir utpadyate pumsam shoka moha bhayapaha. All is shoka moha and bhaya vanished upon seeing krishne paramapurushe. And then he compiled this wonderful literature called the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll stop here. Anyone has any comments or questions, thoughts? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare